All right. Well, you know what I'm going to say next. So get yourself ready. Get your fingers ready. And turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It's towards the end of Exodus, or Shemot, chapter 27. And it is, in fact, verse 20. And it says, "And they shalt command," or "you shalt command," the B'nai Israel. And that word there is the command form, second person, tetzaveh. That they bring first unto you pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause a light, the menorah it is, it turns out, to burn continually in the tent of meeting, in the ohel, without the veil, in other words, outside the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall set it in order to burn it from evening to morning before Yahuwah. This it says, and here's one of these things we've seen before, we're going to see it again. This shall be a statute forever throughout their generations, throughout their generations, that's interesting, on behalf of the B'nai Israel. Now the next chapter says, "And you shall bring near unto you Aaron your brother, and his sons with him from among the B'nai Israel, that they may minister to me in the office of the Kohen, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, his four sons. And you shall make for them holy set-apart garments," or coverings, "for Aaron, your brother, for," and here are the two words here, "splendor and for beauty. And you shall speak to them, unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to sanctify, to set him apart, that he may minister unto me in the office of Kohen." Here we go. These are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a tunic of checkered work, and a miter, and a girdle. They make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, 8 garments in total, that he may minister to me in the office of Kohen. And they shall take the gold, the blue, the purple, and the scarlet, and the fine linen, and make the ephod, or the shoulder cape, if you will, of gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, the work of the skillful workman. It'll have 2 shoulder pieces that join the 2 ends thereof, so that they can be, in fact, joined together. And the skillfully woven band, which is upon it, that will be used to gird it on, shall be the like the work of the one we just talked about, and of the same piece, gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twined linen. Now you're going to take 2 onyx stones and graven, or engrave on them, the names of the B'nai Israel. 6 of the names on one stone, and on the other stone, 6 that remain, according to their birth. So in the order of their birth. Now, this is kind of interesting. I noted this again tonight. The claim is, and I can't prove this, it's oral tradition, but it's kind of interesting, and I got to thinking about it, that there's this miraculous little worm that they actually use to do the engraving, that does fine engraving work on stone, which, you tend to think, well, that sounds a little far-fetched. On the other hand, it came from somewhere. But as I was thinking about it, I couldn't help but realize, we have technology today with nano machines, folks, that will do similar things. Is it any real leap to believe that the creator of the universe could do at least that well and arguably better? So anyway, that at least kind of that struck me as being an interesting thought. All right, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, that's how you'll do it. Engrave the 2 stones according to the names of the B'nai Israel. Make them to be enclosed in settings of gold. Then you put these 2 stones upon the shoulder pieces of the ephod to be stones of memorial for the B'nai Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before Yahuwah upon his 2 shoulders for a memorial. And then you'll make settings out of gold, 2 chains of pure gold, plaited thread you'll make with it, of wreathen work. Put the wreathen chains on the settings, and then you make a breastplate of judgment, the work of the skillful workman. Like the work of the ephod, you'll make it, of gold, of blue, of purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. That's how you make it. It'll be square, 4 square, and doubled. A span will be the length of it, and a span the breadth of it. And in it you set settings of stones. This time it's 4 rows of stones. First one, a row of carnelian, topaz, and smaragd shall be the first row. And by the way, some of these stones, at least I'm not familiar with them. I remember having read that maybe we're not sure about the identities of some of the stones at this point as well. But in the second row, a carbuncle, a sapphire, and an emerald. Those, at least, we can probably recognize. Third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. In the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They'll all be enclosed in gold settings. And the stones, again, shall be according to the names of the children of Israel. 12, like their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one of them according to his name, they will be for the 12 tribes. Now you make upon that breastplate plated chains of wreathen work of pure gold, and upon the breastplate two rings of gold. Put the two rings of gold on the two ends of the breastplate. Now as I read these next few verses, I can't help but notice there are a whole lot of references to the word two in Hebrew. Looks like close to a dozen in total in just about the next five verses. Then you put the two wreathen chains of gold on the two rings at the ends of the breastplate, and on the two ends of the two wreathen chains, put them on the two settings, put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod in the forepart. And you shall make then two rings of gold, put them upon the two ends of the breastplate on the edge, which is toward the side of the ephod to the inside, and you shall make two rings of gold, put them on the two shoulder pieces of the ephod underneath in the front part, close by the coupling, above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. Then they bind the breastplate by those rings onto the rings of the ephod with a thread of blue, so that it can rest upon the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and that the breastplate may not be loosed from the ephod. So it's kind of a multi-part piece. The best analogy that I can think of is kind of almost like an armor, but this is a beautiful set of armor with multiple pieces that are tied together but are free. Aaron, then, it says, shall bear the names of the Bnei Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goes into the set-apart place, the place that's called Kadosh, for a memorial before Yahuwah continually. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment. This is another one of these interesting things that seems to have been lost, but there's lots and lots of discussion about it, lots of references in Scripture to where it was consulted, called the Urim V'Tumim. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goes in before Yahuwah. So essentially, this is one of those things, again, where there is lots of lore. There are a number of references to it. But how it works is subject of discussion. There's a claim that what it would do was these stones would light up and it would project a light on the other stones and enable the questions to be asked and Hebrew letters to be spelled out. Again, we don't have that in Scripture, but we do know from what Scripture does tell us that they were used a number of times in some very specific places in the rest of history after this. These are upon Aaron's heart when he goes in before Yahuwah. And Aaron, it says, shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before Yahuwah continually. Now, make this robe of the ephod all of blue. It will have a hole in it for his head in the middle of it. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the hole. In other words, kind of like a coat of mail so that it doesn't tear. Upon the skirts of it, you make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the skirts, and bells of gold between them all around. So here we're going to see a description. It's a bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the skirts of the robe all around. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister. And the sound thereof shall be heard when he goes into the set-apart place, the Kadosh place, before Yahuwah, and when he comes out, and this is always kind of interesting, so that he die not. Then you make a plate out of pure gold and engrave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holy unto Yahuwah. And of course, in the Hebrew, this is Kadosh Le Yahuwah. Notice, it does not say holy to the Lord. It says what it says. It says Kadosh Le Yahuwah. And you shall put on it a thread of blue, and it'll be upon the mitre, on the forefront of the mitre, so upon Aaron's forehead it'll be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall bear the iniquity committed in the set-apart things which the Bnei Israel shall hallow, even in all their holy gifts. It shall always be upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before Yahuwah. And you shall weave this tunic or coat in checker work of fine linen, make upon the mitre a fine, make a mitre of fine linen, and then make a girdle, the work of the weaver in colors. For Aaron's sons, likewise, you make tunics, make them for girdles and head tires or turbans for them, and they will be for, again, these words, splendor and for beauty. And you put them on Aaron, your brother, and upon his sons with him. They will, and then anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them that they may minister to me in the office of Cohen. Now, I'll pause here. Again, this is part of the reason why I wanted to do the news up front, because it's the contrast here that I think should just literally leap off the page at us. We have got all of these, and I honestly admit that when I say these are scumbags, and these are traitorous, lying SOBs, and these are true mob boss evil types, that I'm doing a disservice to the Godfathers and the Corleone families of the world by comparison, because those guys seem downright honest compared to the scumbags that are literally trying to destroy the entire rule of law today. But they too have their garments. They got their $2,000 suits and their fancy robes. And consider this idea of consecration and of ministering unto Yah in the office of a Cohen, as opposed to a fake priest to another god, and the difference could not be more stark. I guess this is interesting too. The last part of the chapter 28 says, "You'll make upon for them linen breeches to cover the flesh of their nakedness. From their loins to the thighs they shall reach." So basically, kind of like long shorts to cover their nakedness. They'll be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not bear iniquity, Torahlessness. Wouldn't it be cool if this applied to these scumbags? We'd have a whole lot of, no longer animated servants of Satan running around New York City. "This shall be a statute forever unto him and unto his seed after him." Now, from here, we're going to talk about the ordination of the priest. In other words, how things are going to happen. "This is the thing you shall do to set them apart, to hallow them, to minister to me in the office of Cohen. Take one young bull, two rams, without blemish, unleavened bread, and cakes, unleavened, mingled with oil, wafers, unleavened, spread with oil, and fine wheaten flour you'll make these things from. You put one of them in one basket." Put all of them in one basket. "Bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons shall bring unto the door of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Take those garments, put them upon Aaron, the tunic, the robe, the ephod, the breastplate, the gird, and gird him then with the skillfully woven band of the ephod." The avnet is the sash kind of thing, and I've seen some notes saying that this was really long, like 60 feet long. "Then you set that mitre upon his head, put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him." So he is anointed. So the anointed term, remember, is Mashiach. And Mashiach is used because a number of peoples were anointed. Kings and high priests and others were anointed. And, of course, we also know that there was HaMashiach, and that's the definite article, but it also seems to apply specifically to the anointed Messiah that would come at this point and has come. So just understand that word applies to the high priest, like Aaron as well. "Bring his sons, put tunics on them, gird them with the girdles, Aaron and his sons, bind their head tires, their turbans on them, then they can have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. And you consecrate Aaron and his sons. Then you bring the bullock before the tent of meeting. Aaron and his sons lay their hands upon the head of the bullock, and you kill the bullock before Yahuwah at the door of the tent of meeting. Take the blood, put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, pour the blood all around it, the remaining blood at the base of the altar. Then take the fat that covers the innards, the lobe above the liver and the two kidneys, the fat that's upon them, and make all of that smoke upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock, its skin, its dung, you are to burn with fire outside the camp. It is a chatat, a sin offering. Then you take the one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands upon the head of the ram. Then you slay the ram. Likewise, take its blood and dash it round about against the altar, and cut the ram into its pieces. Wash its innards, its legs, put them with its pieces and with its head, and make all of it smoke upon the altar. It is a burnt offering, an olah, lifted up before Yahuwah, a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. Then take the other ram, Aaron and his son shall, again, notice they always put their hands upon the head of the ram. You kill the ram, take of its blood, put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, the tip of the right ear of his sons, the thumb of all of their right hands, and upon their big toe, the great toe of their right foot, then dash the blood against the altar round about. Take of the blood that's on the altar and the anointing oil, sprinkle it upon Aaron, upon his garments and his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. He and his garments then will be hallowed, along with he and his sons' garments with him. Then take of the ram, the fat tail, the fat that covers the innards, the lobe of the liver, two kidneys, the fat that's on those, and the right thigh. This is a ram of consecration. Along with one loaf of bread and one cake of oiled bread and one wafer, out of the basket of unleavened bread before Yahuwah, and put the whole upon the hands of Aaron and upon the hands of his sons. And then they wave them for a wave offering before Yahuwah. And you shall take from them, from their hands, these things, make them smoke on the altar, upon the altar of burnt offering, for a sweet savor before Yahuwah. It is an offering, it says, made by fire unto Yahuwah. Then take the breast of Aaron's ram for consecration, and wave it. It's a wave offering before Yahuwah. This will be, or it shall be, your portion. You shall sanctify the breast of the wave offering, the thigh of the heave offering, which is waved, which is heaved up, the ram of consecration, even that which is Aaron's, and that which is his son's. And this, it says, shall be for Aaron and his sons as a due. This is their portion forever from the B'nai Israel. It is a heave offering. It will be a heave offering from the B'nai Israel of their sacrifices of Shalamim, of peace offerings, even their heave offering unto Yahuwah. So one of the things we're seeing here is how it's set out that these offerings will essentially be the due, or the I don't like the term wages in this context, but this is the thing which is given by the people to Yahuwah, and then it is the Kohanim that are the benefactors of it. They eat of these things. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him, to be anointed in them and consecrated in them. So these garments will be passed down. 7 days shall the son that is priest in his stead put them on, even he who comes into the tent of meeting to minister in the Kadosh, the set-apart place. And you shall take the ram of consecration, seethe its flesh in a holy place, and Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram, the bread that's in the basket at the door of the tent of meeting. They'll eat those things wherewith atonement was made, to consecrate and to sanctify them, but no stranger shall eat of them, because they are set apart. They're for Aaron and his sons. And if any of the flesh of the consecration or the bread remains until morning, well, you burn all of that with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is set apart. Thus, it says, you shall do unto Aaron and his sons according to all I've commanded you. 7 days you consecrate them. Every day you offer the bull of the sin offering, besides the other offerings of atonement. Do the purification upon the altar when you make atonement for it. You'll anoint it and set it apart, sanctify it. 7 days you do this. Make atonement for the altar, sanctify it. Thus, says the text, the altar shall be kadosh, kadoshim. There's that word again. Most holy, holy of holies, set apart. Whoever touches it, or whatsoever touches the altar, shall be holy. Now this is that which you shall offer upon the altar. So here we're going to get what's called a morning and the evening sacrifice. 2 lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. 1 lamb you offer in the morning, the other lamb you offer at dusk. And with the 1 lamb, 1/10 part of an ephah of fine flour, mingled with 1/4 part of a hin of beaten oil, 1/4 part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. The other lamb you offer at dusk, and do according to the meal offering of the morning. In other words, a similar process and a similar set of items. According to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. And it says, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tent of meeting before Yahuwah, where I'll meet with you to speak with you there. And there I'll meet with the B'nai Israel, and the tent shall be sanctified by my glory. I will sanctify the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron and his sons will I set apart, sanctify, to minister to me in the office of Cohen. And I will dwell among the B'nai Israel, and I will be their Elohim. And furthermore, he says, they shall know that I am, here we go, Ki Ani Yahuwah, who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them, Ani Yahuwah Elohekim. And finally, the last of the portion is having to do with an altar. Make an altar to burn incense upon it out of acacia wood, a cubit the length, a cubit the breadth, square, and 2 cubits, it'll be the height. The horns, they're made of it with one piece. Overlay it all with pure gold, the top, the sides, round about, the horns, and make unto it a crown of gold all around. 2 golden rings you make for it under the crown, on the 2 ribs, on the 2 sides, and they shall be for places where the staves will go through that will be used to bear it. You shall make those staves out of acacia wood, and again, overlay them with gold. Put all of this before the veil that's by the ark of the testimony, before the ark cover over the testimony, where I will meet with you. And Aaron shall burn thereon incense of sweet spices. Every morning, when he dresses the lamps, he'll burn it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at dusk, he'll burn it, a perpetual incense before Yahuwah throughout your generations. Now it says, don't offer any strange incense thereon, nor burnt offering, nor meal offering. Pour no drink offering thereon. And now we get the last verse in the Torah portion. And this, of course, is something we're going to see that's important and is celebrated annually and still is a statute that he says to keep. Aaron shall make atonement upon the horns of it once in the year. With the blood of the sin offering of atonement, once in a year he shall make atonement. So we know, recognize this as Yom HaKippurim or Yom Kippur. This is done throughout your generations. It is most holy. Kadosh, Kadoshim, Le Yahuwah, unto Yod-Heh Vav-Heh.